We're live from the Florida Blue Practice Fields outside of Everbank Field. It's Mandatory Minicamp 2014, and this is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Here's how you can get on the show today. At Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice as well. Brian Sexton will join us shortly. Jeff Lagerman, who is not on Twitter, he'll be here as well. Here are the Jaguars this week. Minicamp is underway, of course, today. The first of three minicamp practices. Open practice Wednesday as well. That's tomorrow. And the offseason program ends with a final practice Thursday. Some things in the morning on Friday. And then the players are out of here officially for the offseason.
And JP, our producer, Patrick Cavanaugh, just got me for looking at the field. I was trying to figure out if Cecil Shorts was out there.
Okay.
That's one of the news today. He has a helmet, and we're going to try to see how much he's going to do. Ace Sanders and Mike Brown, it looks like they're back.
Let's get into that a little bit today then. Wide receivers have been a topic this whole offseason, John, of course, mm-hmm. with guys injured and out of the lineup and out of minicamp, OTA practices at least, and maybe back for this minicamp. Let's start with Cecil Shorts mm-hmm. III. How much should he go today?
Well,
and this week?
Again, it all depends on how healthy he is, really. I would be surprised if they push him a whole lot. I'd be surprised if he does everything this week, if he does anything at all in terms of the team drills. There's just not that much for him to be gained. You know Cecil. You know his work ethic, his approach. He's going to be ready. If he goes the entire training camp, there's not that much out of this that's going to matter once the regular season starts. He's probably the only guy on the roster, on the wide receiver roster that I would say that about, who you just sort of know he's going to be ready, even if he's not in OTAs.
And it's something we'll watch throughout the day-to-day and individual work. We will take you up until the team portion of today's practice. We won't show that live. We'll show everything before that, so we'll get a good up-close look at the wide receivers. And continue with a guy like Ace Sanders and mm-hmm. Mike Brown, who've been banged up a little bit this off-season program. For those guys, they seem a little more apt to be out here this week.
Well, yeah, and all these guys, especially beyond Cecil, want to be out here because everybody's really fighting for a roster spot on some level. So they're driven by, you know, they know Gus is about competition. They know they got to be out there. So, yes, they want to be out here, but, again, not at the expense of possibly taking what is a tweaked hamstring, a tweaked calf, and turning it into something far worse. So, It appears from what Ace and Sanders and Mike Brown did on Thursday that they will be as close to full go as they can be this week. And they certainly want to be because this is a mandatory minicamp. This has a little bit more of an edge than a regular OTA.
Two rookies not out there on the wide receiving crew, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson.
Right.
Lee does not have the boot on. I saw him earlier walking out here without the boot, but unlikely to go this week. Certainly Allen Robinson, the same
right.
kind of case.
And I do see Cecil out there warming up, so he's so far in the, as much as he can be going, he's going at this point. Some sporty white leggings that he's got on too, by the way, JP. But yeah, and you mentioned Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. We've said all along during OTAs, it obviously would be better if those guys were on the field. Not so much because of what they're not learning in the offense and in the playbook. I think they'll be able to pick that up and be able to get going in OTAs. But you know how Jerry Sullivan is. He wants to get his hands on these guys and wants to work their fundamentals as much as possible. You know, I don't think he would say that it's ideal for him not to have been able to work the route stuff, the detail things that Jerry likes to work with a guy. He wants as much time as possible. I think they'll be able to pick that up during training camp. But at this point, it would seem imperative that Lee and Robinson are there for training camp full go from the start.
Yeah, you can't miss much time there, that's
right.
for sure. And especially with the quarterbacks, you know. The quarterbacks have to get a little bit of some kind of timing going
right.
with these guys, too. And it's hard to do in the pressure of training camp sometimes.
And what we're talking about with the receivers, it's important to note that even if they were out here right now, and even if they get a full training camp, these are rookie-wide receivers who Jerry will tell you, by definition, need seasoning. They need reps. You always talk about in athletics needing to do thousands of things or needing to do a thing 1,000 times or 10,000 times before it's in you. Jerry wants to get those things in them as much as possible. So receivers, rookie receivers, are going to have an adjustment period anyway. And that's why, again, don't expect too much out of these guys in September, whether or not they're on the field in training camp or not.
JP Shadrick with John Osherd live from Mandatory Minicamp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields, Jaguars.com live. Let's talk quarterbacks a little more in depth.
Sure.
Chad Haney's a starter, obvious. But you talked to him, we both talked to him the last week or two, and he just seems like things are getting a little quicker for him
yep.
as this offseason goes along.
Well, and we should clarify too, from what we've seen in a couple of open sessions of OTAs, Chad Haney's the starter, and he should be the starter. He's a veteran, 6 years in this league. He's ahead of Blake right now from what we've seen. So that's not a situation where they're doing it because they said they were going to do it. They're doing it because they want to slow Blake down. Right now, Chad Haney, you know, from appearance's sake, is clearly the best guy to be the quarterback in this team. He does seem more confident and more at ease, and that's something I think we were all looking for because he talked about it so much in the offseason, wanting to own the position, if you will, wanting to be the guy who in the locker room after plays was able to go to his teammates and sort of direct a little more. It's not that he didn't do that before. It's that when you're not the guy, you maybe don't step as quickly into that role as you did before. You can see him doing that, and frankly, you can see him playing and performing a little better in the open periods that we've been able to see.
Yeah, sure.
That you can see that he is perhaps more comfortable and performing a little better than he did in past similar situations.
Blake Bortles.
Who?
Yeah,
oh,
you might have heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's a guy that that has no pressure. We talked about that because of the way they've done this on the quarterback situation. He's not going to be the starter. At least that's the word. So he has the ability to work on little things, footwork.
Right.
Mechanical flaws, not flaws per se, but some things that he needs to work
yep.
on. He doesn't have to worry about fighting for that starting
right.
job. He can work on the little things just to get a little bit better.
Now, you mentioned no pressure. He has as little pressure as he could possibly have in this situation is probably the best way to say it.
Yep.
Because there's no question, when you're the number three pick, I've got to think that even if the team's saying no pressure, somewhere inside, it's only human nature to feel that a little bit. That's the reason for the setup, is that Gus wants to take as much of that off him as he possibly can. So you would hope that Blake is using this time wisely. You would hope that he talks some about changing his mechanics a little bit during the pre-draft process. Well, it stands to reason if he was doing that, he still doesn't have those reps that get things into second nature. He's doing that out here as we're seeing him. So what you're seeing is a little bit of a rough draft in two areas. A rough draft in him learning the offense, and also a rough draft for him in figuring out what out of these new things that he's trying is going to work, what's going to stick, how much he can get into his default mode, if you will. So, again, it's always important with rough draft, I mean, with OTAs, remember that it is a rough draft. They're doing things, I think Jed Fish said a couple weeks ago, they are doing things out here where they're sort of testing to see if it works. And they're doing things out here that they might well throw out. And it stands to reason that with a rookie, they're doing things figuring out what he can do and what he can't do. So more than anything with Blake, even what people see out here today who are here, you're seeing him in a progression state, not a fully reached maturity state.
This is Jaguars.com live from Mandatory Minicamp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. Practice was moved ahead a little bit today. It was originally scheduled for this afternoon, but moved a little earlier today. So a good crowd. Some of the folks that might have come a little later might not have been able to come earlier today, but still a very solid crowd on a Tuesday morning here in downtown Jacksonville. Let's change gears a little bit, Johnny, and talk defense. You know, I read your Ozone every day, John. I don't know if you know
you
about
do.
That.
And you call me Johnny now, so
yeah.
That's fine.
Well, that's going to be a thing. So, Johnny, you get a lot of questions about the defensive line depth. And who's going to get cut on the defensive line
right.
is really the tone of a lot of these questions.
Sure.
But your defense for that is that there might not be many. They need this depth, and that's the whole reason
right.
for signing all these
well,
guys.
Well, I spend a lot of time on the defensive, JP, as you know, and, you know, just kind of the way I am. But you know, I get that people want to – whenever you've got depth charts online, right – people want to look at those depth charts, and they're hungry to decide who's going to get cut. If you're not starting, you're departing, if you will. Yeah, that's a little lingo, JP.
Yes.
But I don't think you look at the defensive line this way. You see them playing 7, 8, maybe even 9 guys on Sunday, And that's not a situation like with the offensive line where a guy, if he's not a starter, he is a pure backup. On the defensive line, they went out and they re-signed Babin, they signed Clemens, they signed Ziggy Hood. They did all that for a reason. It was to get deep. It was not so that they could cut other guys. So I'm not saying there won't be a name cut out of that bunch, but some of the tone of the questions I get are very much, what are your expectations level of this guy? Can he be a starter? Well, just because Ziggy Hood, for example, doesn't start, in no way means he's not reaching expectations for what they want. They looked at their line last year. We've gone over this, obviously. So Derek Marks, 900 plays. Jason Babin and Tyson O'Alo played over 700 plays, I think it was. Nobody on the Seattle defensive front played more than 700. I think one played more than 600. Well, that's a big difference by the time you get late in the season. So, again, probably not worried as much about who's starting. I don't think most people in Seattle could have told you exactly who's starting, who's playing the most plays, who's doing what. They just know they had the ability to come at you in waves.
Now, do we even have to clarify starters and backups on the defensive line? Because in this theory, you know, if it's a running type of team, you might have a different starting front for plays, and then on a passing down, bring the third guy in. That's two plays later. They're not starters anymore. They're not in the game.
There is absolutely an element of that, and there's absolutely some truth to that.
They're just defensive linemen.
Right. It appears Red Bryant, Chris Clemens at end, Sendarek Marks, Roy Miller in the middle. That appears to be the guys working with the first team. There's some exceptions to that when Roy Miller is not always taking full reps. Avery Jones is in there. But for the most part, that's your look. So that'll be who's listed as starting lineup. But in terms of reality, in terms of when they're sitting in that defensive meeting room determining who's valuable, determining who's going to do what, there is going to be a lot of different looks, a lot of guys moving inside, moving outside. So the depth chart that we all see online maybe only be in play, you know, 10, 15, 20 plays.
Yeah, and you put in the three Leo package, the Lightning, whatever they called it, put Sendarek in the middle to get some push in the middle.
That was your nickname in college, right? Lightning?
Well, yeah.
Lightning Shatter?
I had a few nicknames in college. Good. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier live from Mandatory Minicamp, the Florida Blue practice fields. Brian Sexton coming up. Jeff Lagerman joining us as well. You know, one thing that's really positive about this week here is that this is mandatory.
Right.
But we don't have to worry about guys holding out who's not here. All 90 were here in the voluntary period, and from what we understand, all are here this week too. And that's something that we don't have to follow this week.
Right, and it's we've talked a lot about Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
His story last week where he was here for all the days that they were on the field. And he said, you know, it may be voluntary, but I mean, it may not be mandatory, but it's mandatory to me, was his quote. And that's really the attitude that you've picked up from so many of these guys. Part of it, to be frank, is because this is new. And this is still a roster that is very much in flux. If you miss anything, you miss a lot. You don't want to be that guy who's sort of shining a light on himself by not being here during OTA. As this gets to be a more mature roster, you'll probably see some more guys, veterans, who don't come to every OTA. And that's fine once you get going. But right now, there is such a bought-in feel. There's a little bit of anxiety for these guys. But I think Gus likes, frankly, of I've got to be there to make the team. I've got to be there to be a part of this. And so it's not surprising at this point that you wouldn't see any holdouts out of this, but it still gives you a feeling of where this franchise is going in terms of 90 guys have been here. Chris Clemens was out a couple of times. Other than that, full attendance, which even for a young roster is remarkable.
Johnny, I know you have plenty of live reporting to do on Twitter today. You'll have good.
No, yes, I do.
Yes, good. You've got a lot of writing coming up on Jaguars.com, and we'll see you on Inside the Jaguars a little bit later. Good job.
We're joined by Brian Sexton.
Yeah, Brian Sexton coming up next. Let's talk about this three-game ticket pack. You can now build your own three-game ticket package. Choose from either the Steelers game, October 5th, or the Giants game, November 30th, and then two other preseason or regular season games. Call the Jags ticket office at 633-2000 for more information. We're live from the Florida Blue practice fields outside of Everbank Field. This is Mandatory Minicamp. J.P. Shadrick with senior correspondent Brian Sexton. Beautiful sun splash day here in Jacksonville. Good to see you. This is cool, man. This is always fun to get the mandatory minicamp going. Same kind of thing we saw the last few weeks, but the off-season program's almost done, Brian.
Well, that's what I'm really excited about, to be honest with you.
Your vacation coming up?
No, not really that, to be honest with you. It's just, you know, I feel like I'm inventing ways to evaluate players.
Okay.
Especially the guys I'm looking at, the guys on the defensive line, the offensive line that needs to get rebuilt. At this point in time, you really can't tell. I'm ready to see some guys in situations with the pads on where you can see if they drop their hips and slide their feet in pass protection. See the get-off from a guy like an Andre Branch and how a Red Bryant works. You know, that's the exciting part to me is that this is a three-day countdown to the underwear practices being over.
That's right. Let's go on the offensive line. We talked about this earlier today back in the office, and it kind of brought up an idea in my head, you know. You know who the left tackle is, Luke Jokel, of course. Austin Pastor seems to be solidified on the right side. Zane Beadle's obviously the left guard. The other two, those center and right guard, are kind of up in the air right now. But I was trying to think, what was the last time the Jaguars had their five starting offensive linemen set in an off-season program?
Well, you know, my first reaction was the 99 team, because you had Boselli and Searcy. Ben Coleman was the left tackle, the left guard that was set. The center was John Way. They had drafted him the year before. They had discovered him and were ready to develop him. And I thought that it was Rich Tilske's job for sure going into camp, but, you know, going back and jogging the memory bank a little bit, they had signed Zach Wiegert as a free agent. And so, you know, Wiegert was competing with Tilske that year. And the only other year where it even seemed close was 2007, because you had Khalif Barnes, who was ensconced there at the left tackle spot. Across the line, you know, you had Brad Meester. You had things set, except that instead of Mo Williams settled in at right tackle, well, they had brought in Tony Pachos to compete with him. And Mo was actually competing at both guard and tackle with Tony Pachos and with Chris Naoli. So, you know, the answer to the question is really never. It's never totally been set. Although at various moments in this franchise's history, you've known who the real prongs, you know, on the plug were. You know, Boselli and Searcy and Ben Coleman, the three that you could count on. And then, you know, Wiegert there in 99, 2000, 2001. But injuries and free agency have always kind of robbed that unit of being consistent.
That seems like a league-wide thing, though. That's just a position group where you're going to have turnover, and almost on an annual basis, just because of the nature of the position. Right?
Well, and the nature of the salary cap. I mean, you can't pay five-star offensive linemen. You know, in Cleveland now, they gave Alex Mack that big contract to go with Joe Thomas, their Pro Bowl All-Pro left tackle. Everyone else is going to have to be a third, fourth, fifth-round pick, and then, you know, replace with a third, fourth, fifth-round pick, because it just seems that you can pay two offensive linemen if you have a quarterback. The quarterback obviously is going to chew up a big chunk of that salary cap, the corner, the defensive end. All of those guys are going to chew up your cap. So you may, if you've got a special center, be able to pay your center and your left tackle. It just means you're going to have to cycle those guys through. You know what it really does? It makes offensive line coaches, really good ones, more valuable. Howard Mudd, for years, the best offensive line coach in football. And it was because with what they were paying the skill position guys in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James and, you know, Dallas Clark. Don't tell Pollard I left his name off that list. But because they were paying those guys, you know, when Tarik Glenn left, they went and drafted Charlie Jones. You know, they were always trying to find young, cheap offensive linemen. And I marveled at how well a guard who wasn't even on the roster in training camp could step in and protect Peyton Manning in December. And you know, you'd think, well, that was Peyton. I mean, he tends to get his guys ready to play, but Howard Mudd did a phenomenal job. So offensive line coaches in this day and age of the NFL are even more valuable because they're going to have to do more with less.
Brian Sexton is with us, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. We're live from Mandatory Minicamp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. Let's kind of stay on the offensive line.
Sure.
Maybe kind of the sixth offensive lineman. Mercedes Lewis, you know, one of the best blocking, if not the best blocking tight end in the league.
He's the best blocking tight end in the game. There's no doubt.
And you've had a lot of conversation with him recently. John and I just mentioned him briefly. And, you know, you've had a lot of conversation with him over the last couple of weeks about where his mindset is going, you know, just overall and into this season. It was evident last week when he goes out to L.A. for the graduation for his sister in high school, flies back on the red eye for a voluntary camp day, goes back out again for his camp on the field. He's back here again for mandatory camp. He's a guy that loves this environment and loves being on the field now.
You know, he always has been, you know, one of the go-to guys, at least for me, since he got here in 2006. you know, I like his candor. I like the ability that he has to take a complex football issue and translate it for the average fan. But, you know, right after he got paid, 2010, 2011, he wasn't the same guy. And I wondered, was it the money? And what we found out later was that he had a custody situation with his daughter. And he's been very frank with me this spring in talking about that, because a judge a few weeks ago really lifted his spirits by giving him complete 50%, what he felt like was completely his half of the custody of his daughter. And that made him feel like $1 million. He's that kind of guy. He wants to be there for his daughter. And so I think he's really able to not worry about, you know, what was going on in the courts and whether his mom had his daughter and whether the mother of his daughter was being a pain in the butt or not. Mm-hmm. He was able to focus on football and on that locker room. And I see that Mercedes Lewis that I knew in 06, 07, 08, 09, that guy is back. Well, now he's in an offense where they are really, I mean, they really rely on him to open up the running game. And, you know, he can step out and take the best pass rusher that another team has and really do a good job with him. And that gives him flexibility, so he's appreciated. His home life is situated and settled, and he feels good. And now he just wants to get out there and play. And really, I mean, you might go, well, he just, you know, you can tell he feels better and he's happier. No, no, this is a completely different Mercedes Lewis. He is comfortable, he is confident, and he understands the role that he has in this locker room of translating what the coaches want into the younger guys. And I've just been really impressed. I think he's primed for a huge year. He's a great red zone target. 6'7" with those hands and that long reach, and he looks like he's ready to go. And, you know, you've got some other young receivers out there. Well, imagine how much more of a weapon Mercedes Lewis will be when safeties have to run down the field with the speed of an Allen Robinson or a Marquise Lee that makes them worry.
JP Shadrick with Brian Sexton live from Mandatory Minicamp.
We're I should watching. Also, by the way, tell
yes,
you
sir.
That Clay Harbor, his backup, a guy that they pulled, remember when they signed all those guys early last season, a guy they pulled off the waiver wire is a guy who really gets after it blocking. And I think that Mercedes has that effect on guys, because when you see the, you know, $7 million tight end blocking as hard as he works on his routes and catching the ball, it's infectious in that room.
We're taking a look now at individual position drills. Wide receivers are right in front of our location here. You're looking at running backs as well. Toby Gerhart, kind of the leader of that group now, brought in free agency from Minnesota. We'll have a little more in-depth on him today on Inside the Jaguars, presented by Tom Bush Mini. But, you know, he's a guy, there's a lot of familiar names in that room. Denard Robinson, Jordan Todman, guys who you know who've been around but maybe have not performed yet here.
Well, that's
and Gerhart's the same way, actually.
Well, you're right, because he was nothing more than a change of pace backup guy. Yep. When you have Adrian Peterson, when you pay Adrian Peterson $12 million a year like the Vikings did,
you better play him.
You were going to play him as much as you want, as you could. And by the way, Peterson's one of those guys. He wants the ball. Oh, he's like Fred Taylor was. Just keep giving it to me and you'll keep getting the plays. You know, I'm excited about a lot of the second year guys. I mean, Robinson's a guy that stands out. And I don't know whether people have heard this story. I'll tell it again. You know, we all watched him last year and watched him drop pass after pass, easy pass, difficult pass. It didn't matter. And I remember saying to somebody, how is a guy who held the ball on every play at the University of Michigan, right? I mean, we're not talking about my alma mater, the University of Kansas.
Right.
We're talking about Michigan. He held the ball in his hands, warm weather, cold weather against the Big Ten. How does he struggle so much to catch the ball? So now he's catching everything in sight. And I said to Dave Caldwell one day early in the OTA process, what did he do? Did he work with Jerry Sullivan, the receivers coach, more? Did he spend an enormous amount of time on the jugs machine? He said, no. He said, you know, people forget he had an injury at Michigan, an elbow injury. He was dealing with the ulnar nerve, which controls the ability to open your fingers up, right, and keep your fingers open. They would collapse. So if people are listening at home, and I know Patrick's got the camera on someone else, but hold your hand out and spread your fingers as wide as you can. He couldn't do that. Well, now, hold one hand with your fingers apart and one hand with your fingers together and see how well you catch the ball, how secure you are. Remember the touchdown that would have been against Buffalo had he not had it knocked out. So the real issue for him is he's able to fully control his hands. And that should translate into a major step forward for the guy that you and I both know have tremendous athletic ability. And in fact, when you look across this roster, I defy you or anyone to watch John Cyprian right now and not expect his best. He was already a good-looking athlete last year. He's bigger. He's more fluid because he's more confident. He told me last week, I know the system. Better yet, I know what the coaches want, the nuances of it, inside and out, and that allows me to not think. I just go and play. And there's a ton of those guys on this roster. You know, Leroy Reynolds is another, undrafted a year ago. He's bigger. He's stronger. He always ran well, but now he's just playing. And there's this over and over. Demetrius McCray.
Yeah,
we didn't see much of Jeremy Harris last year, but here are two guys that know it. Yeah. They know the system. So, you know, when you look at the tendency of most people is to look at what the Jaguars drafted and what they signed in free agency and try to evaluate how much better they can be based on those players. But you're missing it if you just rely on those rookies, because it's the second-year players that take the biggest jump between year one and year two when they're comfortable and knowledgeable in what they're being asked to do. Those are the guys. Dwayne Grotz, I'm watching him just warm up and looking at the way that he moves his hips and how fluid he is. I don't know if we saw that last year because he was thinking, what do I do with my feet here?
Yep.
Now he's just playing.
And he had two different ankle injuries, too, the high ankle sprains and
exactly.
all that to go with it. So
exactly.
It's tough. J.P. Shadrick with Brian Sexton live from Mandatory Minicamp. The Florida Blue Practice Field, solid crowd on a Tuesday morning. It is a warm one today, bright sunshine again. Another open practice tomorrow, Brian. Thursday's is closed to the public. We'll have live coverage again tomorrow early in practice as we are today. Jeff Loggeman expected to join us here shortly. No, he's around somewhere, so I'm earlier.
He's always lurking.
He's lurking somewhere in the shadows over there. This is individual drills. The defense is out on field two right now. The offense on field one, most of the teamwork today, which you will not see here on Jaguars.com, will be here on field one in front of the fans this morning. Boy, it doesn't seem like it, but it's, what, 4 weeks away? 5 weeks away
From training camp. And when you look at this roster, and again, I said I'm glad for the OTAs to end so that we can get to that evaluation phase. There are so many good-looking athletes out there that I want to see with the pads on. I want to see how they perform when they're in pads in two consecutive days. You know, that may seem subtle, but you want to see how a guy responds. Can a guy stay healthy? And, you know, there's some linebackers in particular. A guy that we haven't really seen, although he's practicing some today, is Dakota Watson. Boy, I tell you what, the Jaguars went after him early in free agency. Nobody really knew him if they hadn't watched him play at Florida State, or if they weren't a Bucs fan who watched special teams intently. You know, here's a good-looking athlete, a guy that's fluid and moves well, big hands, and seems to be that guy who can play a lot of different roles. All right, well, I'm excited for camp because I want to see those guys in a role, in a situation where they are showing us exactly what they do, not just, you know, the underwear practice.
Brian, great stuff as always.
Well, if you invite me back tomorrow, I might show up.
Well, I think you might be here tomorrow.
All right,
about
JP.
That? Brian Sexton with us, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. Let's talk about Jaguars groups. Yes, put your group together for the best game day experience in the NFL at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform, including Spa Cabana's special group ticket pricing, extensive corporate hospitality, customized group experiences. Reserve your group experience today, jaguars.com/groups. Great home schedule. Of course, Steelers, Giants, Dolphins, Browns, and the divisional teams all here. That Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. We are live from Mandatory Minicamp, the Florida Blue Practice Fields, and Jeff Loggeman is with us. Let's switch sides here, Jeffrey. Jaguars radio analyst on a beautiful sun splash.
Sweaty radio analyst.
Yeah, well, this is, what do you think of so far? OTAs, if you're head coach Gus Bradley, what's left for you to see this week?
Well, the biggest thing for me is trying to get as many repetitions as you can with what wide receivers you have for the remainder of this mandatory minicamp. You know, they've missed so many repetitions with the OTAs. I know that they're not all out there practicing, but at least you're a little bit more healthy than you were for the last couple weeks.
Jeff Loggeman is with us. You know, and it looks like a few are back out there today. Mike Brown's there today, A. Sanders today. 84 had a helmet, but we don't see him in the individual drills right now. But, yeah, Cecil was out here in stretch at least, but might not do too much. Defensive line, we talked about this with John Osher a little bit. He keeps getting questions about which defensive linemen are going to make this roster. But it sounds like
a little early there for that discussion.
Right, but the whole point of signing all these guys is to have depth, and right. There might not be a lot of cuts in the defensive
line. But, I mean, it's an interesting question, and it's a valid question, because particularly with the Leo spot. You know, the Leo spot's going to be very interesting because you have Jason Babbins, Clemens, Branch, and Davis. I mean, that's a lot of guys playing that Leo position. And also Chris Smith, who was a draft pick from Arkansas, who I don't know if he's a true Leo or not. He probably has the ability to kind of do both sides. You know, so that's an interesting spot. Who's going to be playing that strong side in with Red Bryant? Will, you know, Tyson Alualu make it, or will they end up going a younger round? Because there's a couple young guys that were undrafted that have a chance to make it. So it's going to be interesting to watch that defensive line, but clearly they've gotten better at that position group.
We've talked about this on radio before about Tyson Alualu and the pressure he might be feeling this year, but it's never like he plays without pressure anyway. But is this year different for him in that regard?
Well, I think it is because, I mean, you went out and you gave, what, $4 or $5 million to a Red Bryant. You know, I mean, if you need an indication, I don't think it gets any more clear than that, you know. So, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch it, to see if Tyson can make it because, you know, I don't know how much longer his contract goes for. But there's, like I said, the young guys that are here that have an opportunity to be better. And when you have an older guy, quote-unquote an older guy, like a Red Bryant or a Tyson Alualu, you'd like to be able to groom somebody that's young and that could be there for the future. And then also young means cheaper. And cheaper is always good when you're developing a roster.
Jeff Lagerman is with us. Let's stay on defense and talk linebackers. Dakota Watson hasn't done a lot since in this offseason program, banged up a little bit. But you expect him to – he was one of the first guys they went after in free agency. You expect him to be there come end of training camp.
And I said this after they signed him, you know, because there was numerous times that, you know, people were talking about Red Bryant or Clemens or, you know, some other Zane Beatles, you know, another sexy free agent. Nobody really wanted to talk about Dakota Watson.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I said, this may be the best signing that nobody's talking about on the roster. You know, and what made me believe that was going back and watching the plays that he actually participated on defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there weren't many. But the plays that he was in on the field on, the guy was fantastic. Had great instincts. He's got great speed. And I think he's going to be a definite upgrade for this roster. Now, Leroy Reynolds is going to have something to say about that. You know, the second-year man out of Virginia had a very productive OTA. So we're going to see where that competition is at once the pads get on.
And
all of these things that we're talking about here, you know, we need more evaluation when the pads go on.
We're about 5 weeks away from really finding out a lot of things when the pads go on. About Reynolds, though, he's been playing on that outside spot with Watson out, the practices we've been able to see that have been open to the public. And you like what he's done so far?
I like what he's done. I think he's had a very solid offseason. In reality, though, his most natural position is probably the Mike linebacker spot or the middle linebacker spot. But last time I checked, Paul Posluszny, he's not going anywhere, and he's not going to be able to beat out Paul Posluszny. But in the future, would not be surprised if that's where Leroy Reynolds ends up finding himself. But when you have an established player like that, hey, look, it's good to cross-train. It's good to have a guy learn multiple positions. It's a one number waited for him to get on the field, and also number two, a way for him to contribute, and then also to understand the entire defense.
This is the final few minutes of individual work. They'll have a group install, and then team drills will begin. That's when our coverage will conclude here on Jaguars.com Live. Jeff Lagerman is with us. Let's go to that last layer of defense, defensive backs. Is Josh Evans in trouble since he's not on the field this offseason, or do you think he can get back and get that job away from Winston Guy?
Well, I don't think he's in trouble. I mean, there's definitely competition there. Winston Guy, you know, the competition started last year when they were rotating those two guys. And with Josh Evans having to miss some time with the toe, I guess it was.
Yep.
No big deal. Man, no big deal. I mean, Josh Evans is a very good football player. And either way, he's going to be on this roster. Whether he's starting on defense, rotating on defense, or being a contributor on special teams, he's got some ability. So I don't worry about him.
Year one to year two is when you make the biggest jump in the league. That's what a lot of folks say. Jonathan Cyprian the same way. And where do you see him right now? And have you had a chance to kind of visit with him lately?
The best part of what I've seen with Jonathan Cyprian so far is that he's been here for every practice that I remember. You know, last year in the regular season, there was a number of instances where he had to miss a lot of practice time. And it's hard to get better when you're a young player, when you're missing a lot of practice time. And this year he's been healthy. You can tell that he's starting to show some of those leadership qualities. He's a fantastic football player. Some of the things that he was able to do makes you excited for his future and also the Jaguars' future because of the playmaking ability that he has. Great ability to play close to the box, but also has got some great awareness and coverage, and a lot of times it's difficult to get the two of them to mesh in one person at the safety spot.
You know, it seems, just talking to him, he seems maybe a little hesitant to say, oh, I'm the guy, I'm the leader of this defense. He's a guy that really wants to go out there and prove it on the field before he kind of talks the talk, I guess.
Well, and that's good. That's a great approach. You know, and that's kind of really the basis for the way that Gus Bradley teaches. You know, Gus believes in that, you know, hey, look, you know, go to work. Get better. Don't worry about the end result. You know, the end result takes care of itself as long as you take care of the process. And with Jonathan Ciprian, I think it's a great approach to worry about the process and worrying about getting better instead of worrying about where you're going to be.
Jeff Lagerman is with us. JP Shadrick as well. Jaguars.com live from mandatory minicamp at the Florida Blue practice fields. Final few minutes of individual work. We'll hop back on camera here, Jeff, quickly. The corners, you know, Grazzi had a couple of high ankle sprains last year. He's coming back for year two. Alan Ball is a sturdy, salty vet on the outside, can kind of keep that going. But a guy like McCray, who they liked last year late, got a start late in the season, he's coming back strong. They like him, too, at the corner spot.
You know, and just
but don't forget about Will Blackman, too.
No, I mean, Will Blackman, I think, is perfect for the type of role that he's going to have, which is nickel. Also could be a starter if pressed into that. But McCray is very intriguing in that he's got that height, length, size, you know, that Gus Bradley likes in cornerbacks with his defense. He's made great improvement. He's got great speed. And just watching him a few minutes ago in one of the drills for special teams, you always kind of watch where a guy, you know, puts himself at in the line. You want guys to kind of jump out front and be the leader, you know, and I was watching him do drills back just a minute ago, and he's the one right there in front wanting to take the lead. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. The biggest impression that he made on me was last year at Seattle when he was pressed into that starting lineup.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're playing one of the premier teams at their place, you know, and the home of the 12th man.
Yep.
And it didn't faze him. I thought he had a very good game.
Final 5 minutes. This is group install behind us, and then teamwork begins. That's when our coverage will end here on Jaguars.com live. Jeff, it's great stuff today as always. We'll look forward to seeing you on radio Thursday night.
Well, you won't see me if you're listening.
I'll see you because I'm hosting the show with you.
You'll see me.
See you, Jeff. Thanks a lot. Well done as always. Jeff Lagerman with us. Yes, Jaguars Thursday coming up Thursday night, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM is the new home of the Jaguars. Tony Boselli will join us on the phone from the first caravan stop. And Gus Bradley scheduled to join us on the phone as well. That's coming up Thursday, 6 to 7 on 1010 XL. That'll do it for our live coverage today from Mandatory Minicamp at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. We'll be back with you tomorrow, a little later today. Look for John Osier's writing on Jaguars.com, inside the Jaguars as well. Our thanks to John Osier, Brian Sexton, for Jeff Lagerman, and everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. We'll see you tomorrow on Jaguars.com Live.